to Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. It is Friday, and all eyes are on Alaska, even for those of us who are in the sweltering heat on the East Coast, where it already feels like it's 110 degrees, but it may not be.
It may not be. But the president is on his way to a cooler location.
Yes, he's going to be meeting with Russian President Putin in Anchorage at the military base there. They're never going to step off the military base. They're going to have a brief, maybe not so brief, conversation. The president describes it as setting the table, that while this is an important meeting, that the more important meeting will be a second meeting, which hopefully, he says, will come very soon and may actually involve Ukraine's President Zelensky. The whole point is to try to bring about an end to the war against Ukraine. And President Trump and President Putin are going to start that process. Putin apparently reached out and asked for the conversation. But there's a lot of concern around the globe among European leaders and certainly around folks who live in Ukraine as to whether President Trump will be cajoled and perhaps manipulated by Putin, who is very skilled, very tough negotiator, into basically giving up the store, carving up Ukraine, and Ukraine's not going to stand for that.
I understand that they had a video conference call yesterday with Zelensky and with some of the members of the European Union.
Yes, that is true. And during that time, the leaders tried their best to try to convince President Trump not to fall into any traps with Vladimir Putin and, you know, continue to remind him that Putin has been doing this for a really long time and he can be charming on the one hand and he warlike on the other. And President Trump himself has kind of vacillated between, you know, being praiseful of Putin and being very critical of Putin. On the one hand, blaming even Ukraine for starting the war against Russia, which was, by the way, a Russian talking point from Putin. And keep in mind, it was Russia that invaded Ukraine, not the other way around. And the president praising Putin and then getting mad at Zelensky for saying Putin can't be trusted, and then the president saying essentially that Putin can't be trusted, and back and forth and back and forth. Again, he seems to vacillate quite a bit. So the European leaders have been working very hard to try to convince him not to fall into any traps and to continue with his own analogy, which is this is a game of chess, and it's a difficult game. And it's going to be a very interesting match.
Well, I think he pointed out aboard Air Force One earlier that you know, it's not going to be possible to do a deal today simply because all the mm-hmm. parties that are simply not there. But one of the things he's hoping to do is that maybe even later today or tomorrow they can bring everybody together and see if they can make something happen.
Right, right. And the president actually said to reporters in the Oval Office yesterday that it would be his preference to have a second meeting right away. He says even if that means staying in Alaska beyond just this one day and bringing everybody there, he said it would be easier to just stay there and continue the negotiation. So I don't know that that would happen, but, you know, I suppose you can't rule that out. You know, the president is just both heightening expectations and lowering expectations at the same time by saying this is a setting of the table, that this is preliminary, and at the same time also saying that he'll know within the first 2, 3, or 4 minutes if this discussion is going to be fruitful or not.
You spend an awful lot of your life in Washington, D.C., and you have for decades. What do you make of what is happening there today?
I just, the president has painted a picture of Washington, D.C. as a crime-infested, homeless-riddled, dangerous place upon which to walk the streets. And those of us who live and work here don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
However, nobody is going to say that the city has no crime. And nobody's going to say that the city doesn't need some improvements. But how you go about it is really quite of the essence of all of this. The president has federalized D.C. law enforcement, taking away control from the local police and putting it under the auspices of his head of the ATF, who is also now acting as the head of the Washington, D.C. Police Department, which means anything the police do, they have to clear through him first, for a period of 30 days. By law, the president can only federalize the District of Columbia, which is a federal district, which, by the way, has its own city council and its own governing board, but it gets federal dollars. So it's kind of a different animal altogether. By law, he can only do that for 30 days. Congress is out of town for 30 days. When Congress comes back, chances are pretty good he's going to ask to extend that. The people who live and work in D.C. are very perplexed by that, but I will say that already you can see the troops are showing up in front of the monuments on the National Mall, which is not exactly a crime-infested area. It's a very big touristy area. A lot of it is just visual deterrence. We are told that these troops are not carrying weapons. They have weapons available should they need them. They're in the nearby armory. They are there to assist local police. There have been many arrests, mostly people who are undocumented or drunk driving or assaults or what have you. One Department of Justice employee was arrested for throwing a Subway sandwich at a member of the D.C. National Guard. So, and then subsequently fired, by the way.
Right. That sounds kind of childish to me.
Well, you know, I mean, why are you throwing a Subway sandwich at anybody? But, you know.
Well, yeah, they're not
cheap.
This is
just, yeah. But the more troop presence, the more agitated people are getting. They've been doing checkpoints down some of the main streets in Washington, D.C., so people who live there have to prove they belong there. Cars are being inspected. It's all viewed by those of us, again, who live and work here as very heavy-handed, over-the-top, and unnecessary. However, if you put this into the political perspective and you say, you know, don't fight crime, don't beautify the streets, don't clear out homeless encampments, then that's probably not a winning argument either. So there's just a lot of drama right now.
And this is slated to end in 30 days. Is that the hope?
Yeah. The president says by law he can only do it for 30 days, but he's already said that you can't do this for just 30 days, so he's going to ask for an extension. And we can pretty much guarantee that that will be the case. So I will say that I've spoken to people who have encountered some of these National Guard troops, and the troops have been, for the most part, either they personally may not believe that they need to be there, but they follow orders, and they've been very friendly, and people, tourists, are taking pictures with them and mingling with them and having fun and all of those things. You know, it's very, it's more of a visual thing than anything else. Of course, the people who are being moved out of some of these homeless areas who have been threatened with arrest or they either can go to a shelter or be arrested, according to the White House press secretary, you know, that's pretty unsettling for folks. We have homeless advocates who have been helping to clear out some of the tent encampments. And when I say encampments, it's not like, you know, alligator Alcatraz or anything like that. It's just small little gatherings. They've been trying to do that to get ahead of federal troops being ordered to go in there and, you know, basically bulldoze it. And I don't use the term lightly. Actual bulldozers are standing by to go over some of these tents. And, you know, the homeless advocates are trying to help people and get them away from that before that may actually happen. But the president says it's all about safety, beautification, and improvement, and making the nation's capital a beacon around the world.
Now, Congress is out of town.
Right, right.
So
Congress can't give them the extension that he wants until they come back into town, which will be in September.
But Congress then is not put in a position of having to do something about this.
Right. Congress by law, Congress doesn't really have to do anything about this for 30 days. And then when they come back, they'll deal with it.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
You are welcome. Have a good day. We'll talk next week.